ಗುರುನಾಮದಾರಿ ಯಾವಾದ ಗುರುನಾಮದಾರಿ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಮಧುಗಮರಾಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಮಧುಗಮರಾಂಜನ ಯಮುನ ಪೂರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಗೌರಾದಿಹಾರಿ ಕುಂಜಾಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಪರಮಾನಸ ಪ್ರಭುವಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿಧಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಪರಮಾನಸ ಪ್ರಭುವಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಶ್ರೀರಾಮ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ನಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಇಸ್ಕೋನ್ ದೇವಿ ಕಿ ಫೌಂಡೇಶ್ವರ ಶ್ರೀ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚತನ್ನ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶಿವಾಸರಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶಿಷ್ಯರಾದ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ ಗೋಪನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಕುಂದರಾದ ಕುಂದ ಗಿರಿ ಗೌಡಾನ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ವೃಂದಾವನಾನ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಮೈಪುದಾನ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಗಂಗಮಾಯ ಮುನಮಾಯ ಕೀ ಜಯ ತುಳಸಿ ದೇವಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ದೇವಿ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹನುಮಾನ್ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನ ಯಜ್ಞ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಗೋ ಪ್ರೇಮ ನಂದಿ ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಬೋ ಓ ಗುರು ಸುಮರಿ ಓತೀಸ್ ಓ ಗುರು ಸುಮರಿ ಓತೀಸ್ ಓ ಗುರು ಸುಮರಿ ಓತೀಸ್ ಓ ಗುರು ಸೋದರಿ ಶಿಶಿ ಗುರು ಎನ್ ಗೌರಂಗ
ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ
So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 5, Text 15.
Narayana Paravedam Deva Narayanam Gajam Narayana Paralokam ನಾರಾಯಣ ಪರಮಕಂ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಪರಾವೇದಂ ದೇವ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ಗಜಂ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಪರಲೋಕಂ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಪರಮಕಂ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಪರಾವೇದಂ ದೇವ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ಗಜಂ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಪರಲೋಕಂ नारायणपरामखं
This session is prepared by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Narayanam, the Supreme Lord, Param, is the cause and is meant for. Vedam, knowledge. Devam, the demigods. Narayanam, the Supreme Lord. Angajam, assisting hands. Narayanam, the personality of Godhead. Param, for the sake of. Lokam, the planets. Narayanam, the Supreme Lord. Param, just to please Him. Makam, all sacrifices. Translation: the Vedic literatures are made by and are meant for the Supreme Lord. The demigods are also meant for serving the Lord as parts of His body. The different planets are also meant for the sake of the Lord, and different sacrifices are performed just to please Him. According to the Vedanta Sutra, Shastra Jyon Tvat, the Supreme Lord is the author of all revealed scriptures, and all revealed scriptures are for knowing the Supreme Lord. Veda means knowledge that leads to the Lord. The Vedas are made just to revive the forgotten consciousness of the conditioned souls, and any literature not meant for reviving God consciousness is rejected at once by the Narayana Para devotees. Such deluding books of knowledge not having Narayan as their aim are not at all knowledge, but are the playgrounds for crows who are interested in the rejected refuse of the world. Any book of knowledge, science or art, must lead to the knowledge of Narayan, otherwise it must be rejected. That is the way of advancement of knowledge. The supreme worshipful deity is Narayan. The demigods are recommended secondarily for worship in relation to Narayan because the demigods are assisting hands in the management of the universal affairs. As the officers of kingdom are respected due to their relation to the king, the demigods are worshipped due to their relation to the Lord. Without the Lord's relation, worship of the demigods is unauthorized, avidi purvakam. Just as it is improper to water the leaves and branches of a tree without watering its root, therefore the demigods are also dependent on Narayan. The lokas, or different planets, are attractive because they have different varieties of life and bliss, partially representing the Satchitananda Vigraham. Everyone wants the eternal life of bliss and knowledge. In the material world, such an eternal life of bliss and knowledge is progressively realized in the upper planets, but after reaching there, one is inclined to achieve further progress along the path back to Godhead. The duration of life with proportionate quantity of bliss and knowledge may be increased from one planet to another. One can increase the duration of life to thousands and hundreds of thousands of years in different planets, but nowhere is there eternal life. But one who can reach the highest planet, that of Brahman, can aspire to reach the planets in the spiritual sky, where life is eternal. And therefore, the progressive journey from one planet to another culminates in reaching the supreme planet of the Lord, Madhama, where life is eternal and full of bliss and knowledge. All different kinds of sacrifices are performed just to satisfy Lord Narayan, with a view to reach him. And the best sacrifice recommended in this stage of Kali is Sankirtan Yajna, the mainstay of devotional service of Narayana Para devotee.
Narayana Para Veda Deva Narayana Gajam Narayana Para Loka Narayana Para Makam. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Manitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mancha Kalpa Parubhyasya Kripa Sinubaya Vacha Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
As Raghavendra Prabhu said, welcome to our Tuesday morning feast, festival. I was thinking, in Krishna consciousness, every day is a festival. We had a festival on Saturday. Tomorrow is another very auspicious day, appearance on the day of Lord Vamana Dev. So it is really amazing how sometimes people say, oh, Hare Krishna people, you always have some kind of festivity going on, there is always some celebration. And that is very fact, because spiritual world is full of bliss, and devotees of the Lord, they find, you know, every possible reason to glorify their lordships, Shri Radha and Krishna. So today we have a really wonderful verse. I was kind of like rejoicing reading Srila Prabhupada's purport, because Prabhupada really finds beautiful words to kind of paint the picture like an expert artist, you could say. And you can actually see visually what Prabhupada is trying to say and communicate to all of us. So, in the previous chapter, chapter 4, as we were hearing in the previous weeks and days, there was a discussion of the creation of the universe. And, one can say, as a king, Maharaj Parikshit was certainly well educated and trained in the Vedic understanding of the universal creation.
still he goes on to inquire from his spiritual master, Shukadeva Goswami, about the process of creation. So one can, you know, say like how, you know, why? But it is there for a reason, and it is there for basically to emphasize the importance of actually understanding all these things that are presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. They're very important, and you know, sometimes devotees think, oh, maybe I should skip this chapter, you know. Like sometimes you find like there is description of dynasties, you know, this king had, you know, married this person and they have children and so on and so on and so on. You know, there is like several generations, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh my gosh, Lord Ramachandra appeared in that dynasty. So you can actually see how everything is connected to the Supreme Lord, and therefore it is important to be properly heard from the proper authorities. So in this chapter, basically it's titled The Cause of All Causes. The point is emphasized that Supreme Lord Krishna is the cause of all causes. Sometimes the mundane scientists, they like to kind of put religion aside and say like, oh, we have science to, you know, find the answers to important questions, and that is, you know, scientific process. And religion, let's put it kind of aside because it's based on beliefs. But no, that's not at all. As Srimad Bhagavatam presents information in a very systematic way, we can actually realize it is perfection of the science. And why is it perfection of science? Because it's coming down the chain of authorized disciplic succession. As it's explained in text 28 of the fourth chapter, basically it's explained, Brahma, on being questioned by Narada, told Narada exactly what he had what he heard directly from the Lord, Lord Vishnu. And then Narada again told exactly the same thing to Vyas, and Vyas then told that information to Shukadev, and then Shukadev to Parikshit, and then, you know, we have great fortune of hearing the same information that's been presented thousands and thousands of years ago. So that is a really perfect way of gaining the knowledge, rather than speculating and, you know, using our limited senses, trying to reach out the proper understanding. So in the chapter 5 that we are reading, basically, let us kind of briefly just review what's happening. Because there is actually several conversations, they're going almost, you know, simultaneously. So who is speaking? Basically, we find that in this chapter, Shinarada is inquiring from Lord Brahma. And he's saying, my dear father, please describe factually the symptoms of this manifest world. What is its background? How is it created? How is it conserved, and under whose control is all this being done? And then Shinarada said something really nice, I liked it very much. He's saying, like, my dear father, because you know the past, you know the present, you know the future of this universe, you basically have all the information about this universe just like a walnut in your hand. Can you imagine like a little walnut and you hold it in your hand? So like that, Brahmaji, he has all the information right in his hand. He's holding it. And out of his mercy, he's basically teaching it to devotees. So, and then at the end of his questioning, Narada is saying, yet we are moved to wonder about the existence of someone more powerful than you. When we think of your greatest authorities in perfect discipline, Although your good self is so powerful in the matter of creation, basically, Shinarada is hinting there is somebody more powerful than you. So, anyhow, basically, then we are coming to the point where we are currently in this chapter. And Lord Brahma, he is pointing out that there is a very unique word used in the source, and you may have noticed as we were chanting, it's kind of like dominating the verse, and it's Narayana Para, Narayana Para, and it's mentioned several times. So, Lord Brahma is saying, Narayana Para Veda, basically, Vedas are created by the Lord and are meant for understanding Him. And then he's saying, the demigods, which are kind of like the specific word he used is angaja, assisting hands. So the devatas, they are assisting hands of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And then it says, paraloka, all the planets are meant for the Lord's pleasure. And Narayana paramakha, all the sacrifices. All the sacrifices are meant for understanding the Lord. So, then, as we were reading the Srila Prabhupada's purport, Srila Prabhupada points out something really nicely. And he's saying that any literature not meant for leading the conditioned soul to proper understanding of the Lord, Supreme Lord, is rejected by the Narayana Para devotee. And Prabhupada goes on to explain, basically he's saying like, any literature that's not really coming to that conclusion and it's leading conditioned soul to proper understanding, it's like a playground for the crows. Playground for the crows. Now I'm sure you probably have seen, you know, here in Florida we have, you know, flocks of crows, and sometimes they get really loud, and you wonder like, what is going on? And they're like, almost they're like, you know, like they're like mundane people. Typically, when they have argument, they all talk at the same time. You know, they don't let like, you know, okay, you talk and then I speak, and you know, I heard what you have to say and then I respond. You know, as it's civilized people would have a conversation, discussion. But no, like typically low-class people, they just talk all at the same time. And similarly, the crows, they sometimes you hear them like, you know, crow, crow, crying, like, you know, there's almost like, you know, big like argument and like, you know, something is going on. But what I find really interesting about the crows, they tend to hold a grudge. They kind of like, they like to gossip, like, you know, typical mundane person, and they also hold a grudge. And they also eat all kind of, you know, sometimes even garbage, rejected things. So, interestingly, they have great fear of the eagles. And as we know, Krishna in Gita, he said that among the birds, he's Garuda. And Garuda is gigantic eagle. So it's really interesting when you compare those two species, basically, what are their qualities. I also heard something really interesting, that sometimes because naturally crows are threatened by the eagles, so sometimes they would basically they would gang up against the eagle. And sometimes they would land on an eagle and in the mid-flight and basically try to peck on the eagle and in that way attack the eagle. But guess what does the eagle do? Does anybody know? Okay, I'll tell you. Huh? So, you would think that eagle would fight back. But no, he doesn't. Of course, he's more powerful. You know, he's definitely more powerful. But instead of fighting back, for him it's like more like a nuisance. He actually decides to fly higher, to the point where the crow can't even breathe anymore due to the lack of oxygen. And then the crow automatically falls off. So the point is that sometimes spiritually minded individual is kind of like, you know, bothered by the materialistic people, and it's like a crow pecking on you and disturbing the spiritually, you know, elevated people. But the point is that as the spiritual seekers, we shouldn't be disturbed by the mundane world. We should fly higher in our consciousness, and automatically all disturbances will fall off. So I like that analogy very much. To continue with our verse, so basically it's explaining, Shri Brahmaji is talking and he's saying Vedas are meant for understanding the Lord, and then he's saying the Devatas, their assisting hands, and all the planets are meant for the Supreme Lord. And being tomorrow is Lord Brahmanadeva's appearance day. I couldn't control myself, but you know, not mention anything about him. So we find beautiful pastime where, you know, when Brahmanadeva is basically arresting Bali Maharaj. And I'm gonna only say a few words because I don't want to ruin Madananda's class tomorrow. She will enlighten us tomorrow. But we find one particular moment in that pastime, which is really, really, I like it so much. Basically, you find Bali Maharaj being arrested, and he's helpless because he couldn't fulfill his promise to give Lord Vamanadeva, you know, 3 steps of the land. And then you see Shri Prahlad coming. Prahlad Maharaj is the grandfather of Bali. And then Prahlad Maharaj is saying something really, really deep. He's saying, my dear Lord, actually I will read this because it's so beautiful rather than me saying it. Prahlad Maharaj said, my Lord, it is your Lordship who gave this Bali the very great opulence of the post of the of a heavenly king, and now today it is you who have taken it all away. I think you have acted with equal beauty in both ways. Just see that. What is the vision of pure devotee? So Prabhupada saying, I think you have acted beautifully in both ways, because his exalted position as a king of heaven was putting him in the darkness of ignorance. You have actually done him a very merciful favor by taking away all his opulence. So that is Narayana Paradivoti. Remember what we were reading in the beginning? Prabhupada is saying Narayana Paradivoti rejects all mundane philosophies and any mundane scripture. So I was kind of doing a little bit of research on, you know, what is Narayana Para? And I found, you know, Prabhupada actually quotes that few times. There was one instance, basically Prabhupada was writing a letter to one devotee who was preaching in Tehran, Iran. And Prabhupada was saying, that was a letter to Karandara back in 1975. And Prabhupada was saying, a Narayana Para, or a person who is fully surrendered to Narayan, is not afraid to live even in most dangerous place. He is always safe under the protection of Narayan. And then at another point, another instance, there was a lecture in Pittsburgh back in 1972. It was kind of like a rival address, and Prabhupada was talking to devotees, and then he also mentioned basically, for devotee, there's no difference living in heaven or hell. He just wants to serve the Lord. And he was talking basically back at that point, there was some disturbances. Essentially, devotees in Australia, they have been threatened by authorities simply for their chanting, you know, in a public on the streets. Basically, there was a court case, and you know, some attorney was trying to charge devotees a huge sum of money to actually fight the case against them. And Prabhupada, he said, anyway, I'll just summarize it. He's saying basically, you know, why give money to the attorney? Like, you know, don't waste money. Basically, he was saying, like, what's the difference? You know, if you chant and you get arrested, you know, just, you know, keep chanting in a prison cell. You know, what's the problem? You know, you're either chanting on the streets or you chant in the prison. There's no problem. And then he's actually quoting the same verse, Narayana Pura. And now you may question, like, where is that verse coming from? Actually, it's coming from the sixth canto. If you recall the story of Chitraketu, when he's getting cursed by Mother Parvati, I'm not going to go into all the story since we are out of time here, but we find after that incident takes place, essentially what's happening, Lord Shiva, he is speaking that verse, and he's talking to Parvati Devi, and he's saying basically, he's saying, just see the greatness of the Vaishnava. Even though he's cursed, basically, Chitraketu was totally undisturbed. He actually came off his plane. He offered obeisance to the Mother Parvati and Lord Shiva. And that was the instance when Lord Shiva actually spoke that verse, Narayana Pura. So, just to kind of finalize the verse that we are discussing today. At the conclusion basically of his purport, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that all the sacrifices, and I like this word makkha, it sounds so sweet, all the sacrifices are meant for the pleasure of the Lord. And then Srila Prabhupada said, Sankirtan Yajna for the sake of Kali is the best sacrifice. And we find essentially in Lord Chaitanya's Shikshamrita, basically Lord Chaitanya is saying that this chanting is the only cure to basically save the conditioned souls that are kind of like stuck in the blazing fire of this material world. Let's see if I can find it. So, text 16, that is pretty much at the end of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Lord Chaitanya is saying, he's singing this verse, he's saying, my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in your holy name there is all good fortune for the living entity, and therefore you have many names such as Krishna and Govinda, by which you expanded yourself. You have invested all your potencies in these names, and there are no hard and fast rules for remembering them. My dear Lord, although you bestow such mercy upon the fallen conditioned souls, by literally teaching your holy names, I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses by chanting the holy names, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for chanting. And then he Lord Chaitanya goes on and he said, O Svarup Damodar, O Ramananda Rai, hear from me the symptoms of how one should chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra to awaken very easily one's dormant love for Krishna. And then we you know the famous verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke. Tiravapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnina amanina manadina kirtaniya sadahari. One who thinks himself lovable in the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared for to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. So, four things are mentioned here. Lower than the grass, more tolerant than a tree, always being ready to give respect to others and not expecting any respect in return. How interesting, like in material world you actually find everything opposite. Everybody thinks, oh, I want to all respect for myself. And, you know, the mundane mind is very, very tricky. So, at the end I wanted to tell you one really, really sweet story which I recently heard the story is from Indralinga Swami's diary, traveling monk, and he's explaining one of the summer tours essentially that were taking place in Poland. And basically, as they would do every year, you know, large number of devotees would organize these beautiful festivals at which thousands and thousands of people come. It's really astonishing to see that. And as it's normally, you know, done, you know, devotees have huge, you know, project, huge organization. There's, you know, I heard that sometime up to 200 cooks. Can you imagine that? 200 devotees cooking simultaneously. They rent local schools, kitchens, and, you know, during summers, so they can prepare large amounts of prasadam. So really, really amazing. So one summer, basically as they were traveling, they would typically hire buses, and there were, you know, drivers from different, you know, companies driving devotees to these festivals. And Maharaj explains that typically these drivers, they are not so much interested in what devotees are doing. They, you know, they do their job, you know, driving back and forth, but usually they kind of stay aside without getting much involved in activities of devotees. So, but there was one person that was really kind of interesting in a sense that during all that festival time, he actually changed, his heart changed completely. As Pranavinda Prabhu was saying on Saturday, the conditioned soul has the capacity to actually develop that devotional attitude, where, you know, that marginal energy, as you probably explained, has the capacity, while the material energy doesn't have the potency, or the individuals who are eternally liberated souls, they only have that. But the conditioned soul can go, you know, either way. So it can either have attitude of, you know, sense enjoyment and total forgetfulness of God, or can actually gradually awake its dormant love for Krishna. So, back to our story, this individual, his name was Mr. Arthur. After several days, basically he was driving, and typically devotees would chant in the morning on the way to Harinam, they would chant Vishnu Hare prayer, you know, as it's our custom. But one morning, one typical morning, somehow there was no chanting. And this driver, he was kind of like, you know, looking really morose. And he was looking in his back mirror, back to devotees. You know, he was driving, and then from time to time he was looking backwards. And then he turned back and he said, "What's wrong with you people?" And he said, "Tomorrow, if you don't check, I don't drive." He said, like, you know, no checking, no driving. And the devotee said, "Wow, what happened here?" So everyone was kind of shocked to see that the reaction from him. And then later on, basically, as the days were going on, he actually revealed his mind to one of the devotees there, and that devotee narrated to Maharaj. And what happened essentially, that person, he was, the doctors told him that he has potentially cancer, and that he is very likely to have a very limited number of days in this world. And he was for like days like waiting for the final results, and he was totally in fear and didn't know what to do. And then after some time he actually got the news that the test was negative. So he was relieved from, you know, anxiety. But that experience alone gave him such impetus to actually question his life, the purpose of his life. And then when he met devotees, and basically he was, you know, initially kind of cold and distant, but then over time, as he was listening the lectures and talks of the devotees and observing them from kind of like a distance, he started getting more and more attracted. And that is the beautiful thing, like when you see actually conditioned soul, you know, turning almost like 360 degrees. So he gradually became more and more involved. He started like talking to the devotees, asking questions. And then Maharaj says, like, one evening he actually saw him like sitting on his side as Maharaj was giving evening class and holding Bhagavad Gita. And after the program he approached him and he said, "Mr. Guru, would you please sign this book?" He said, like, "I don't have much money, but, you know, I really like what you people are doing." And he said, "Sometime back, you know, I heard something from, you know, very saintly people, and they were saying, like, what's really shocking about the humans?" They were saying, that saint, he was saying, like, first they sacrifice their health to gain the money, and then they have to sacrifice the money to pay for the health. And then they live in an anxiety and fear, continuously in a fear of death. So practically they spend all their life not really living, you know, it's just like, you know, continuously being in a stage of fear. So this Mr. Arthur, he was saying, you know, back then I couldn't understand that. I couldn't really understand what's the meaning of that. And I'm a sinful man. But after I heard you speak, now it makes all sense to me. And he said, "Mr. Guru, if next summer, if my company doesn't assign me to be driving your party around, can I come and drive you and be your driver?" And Indrajit Sen said, yes, Mr. Arthur, I'll be waiting for you." So really, really beautiful exchange. And then Maharaj ends his writing and he quotes beautiful verse, which I use as our final note in this class. This verse is from Padma Purana and it's spoken by Narada Muni. I'm going to just read the translation here. Shri Narada is speaking here. So he's saying, and he's talking to Bhakti Devi. So, seeing a pitiable condition of Bhakti Devi at the beginning of the age of Kali, Narada said to her, "Oh, beautiful faced lady, there is no age equal to Kali. In this age, I will personally preach your glories in each and every home and establish you within the hearts of every individual. hear my vow, giving priority to the worship of festivals over all other forms of religiosity. If I do not spread you everywhere on earth, then I shall no longer be known as a servant of Hari. The living entities born in the sage of Hari, who become devotees, will attain the abode of Lord Hari without hindrances, even if they are sinners. So, beautiful, beautiful verse by Narada Muni. So, we can say that by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have a great fortune to participate in all these wonderful activities that are, as we can hear from this verse, that are initiated by Narada Muni and devotees of his caliber, of spreading the holy name all over the world. So, I'll stop here. Thank you so much. If anybody would like to say a few words, please do so. Yes.
Thank you for another wonderful class, Govinda Prabhu. Especially that nice analogy of the crow and the eagle. But you did mention that the crow holds grudges.
That's what I read. Yeah.
Oh, do you know? I mean, how do you know? You just read it.
Well, apparently, scientists have been kind of studying, and you know, scientists study all different kind of topics. So they've been also studying crows, and they came to conclusion. Basically, the crows, they can actually even remember the faces really, really well. Actually, they are considered to be extremely intelligent birds. They're very intelligent, and if they see human who is being mean to them, or apparently there have been some researchers, and like, you know, if the researcher was kind of like cruel and aggressive with the birds, and even after many, many days, if that same individual would appear in the lab, even dressed in different clothing, the bird would remember the face of that scientist. So that's how they came to conclusion they actually hold the grudges.
God we recognize the master, even master has a big fear of changes. But I have a problem, like when you're talking about the crows, I'm thinking of Nityananda Prabhu, you know, rescued Mother Malini's a crow. Pick up the utensil and fly away, and then she was depressed, crying, and Nityananda Prabhu came and told the crow, bring that utensil back. You know that story. It was very nice. But then my mind was like going around, okay, there is a eagle, who is that? Garuda. And who is the crow? Bhushambi. But then crow was higher position than eagle, Garuda, in search of Lord Ramchandra's identity. Because Hanumanji told to the Garuda that come and help, serve the Lord. Lord needs protection from you. So Garuda could not comprehend. He's thinking, I carry the Lord always for giving protection to somebody else. But I never heard that Lord needs protection. And from me, this is like unheard of. He could not figure it out. Anyway, it's not related to this. That is like, even if like, how that relates? They are Garuda. But then, anyway, I better finish that last sentence. Otherwise, those who are listening, they will be like a little confused. How is that related?
Yeah, these are special instances. And I think by the mercy of Lord, even crow can act in very, very exalted ways.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the point was that when Hanumanji came and told the Garuda that come and protect the Lord from this, he needs protection from you. So he could not comprehend, so he went to the Brahmaji, he went to the Shiva, and they didn't say. Brahmaji said, what do you want to know? He said, how is possible Lord needs protection from me? He said, I can answer. You have to find out from somebody else.
He went to Shiva, Shiva could not answer. So finally he thought, this is a little scary because he's related with God but nobody is answering me. So finally he went there. They both, eagle and the crow, they both belong to the same caste, same species, the bird species.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, I may not be able to prove you that there is a higher and lower, but amongst them, amongst the bird, they are very fully aware who is higher, who is lower. So the Garuda was thinking that how do I do it? So then the Shiva revealed that you should ask Bhushandi. Now Bhushandi in a form of crow. So he's thinking, I am the highest Brahmana, kind of, you know, like an eagle, best bird. And Bhushandi crow is the lowest. Now higher caste don't go to lower caste to learn something. This is like unheard of.
No.
In spiritual realm, that is not applicable. Because when he came to here, the crow was there, Bhushandi was there. He's talking about Lord Ramchandra's life. And at one point he says, I had a doubt if this little boy, Ramchandra, was actually Supreme Being. And that time Bhushandi was, Eagle, the Garuda, was thinking, oh, I have the same problem. Maybe he will help me. So he came nearby, he wanted to hear the full story. And then of course the whole story was revealed that Lord Ramchandra is Supreme Lord. And it's a long story, I don't want to just give it like that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very nice.
But can I say, but I like the analogy you say. This is I never heard. That the eagle flies so high,
mm-hmm.
and crow cannot fly as high as eagle, after some time they drop.
Yep.
So in our consciousness, elevating of consciousness, if I can elevate my consciousness to a highest degree, which is Krishna consciousness, then all the lower consciousness will automatically drop.
Exactly.
That's a very good analogy. Thank you. I'll take it.
Yes. We have one question this side.
Thank you for your nice class. Isn't there a story in Lord Buddha where his cousin shot, I think it was a crow, and he claimed that the crow belonged to him because he shot the crow, and Lord Buddha saved it, and he said the crow belonged to me because I saved it. So they couldn't decide, you know, so they went to court. And they, I think the story was the crow actually remembered who saved him. He actually had good memory, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to, the crow was given a choice to go to either one. And I think he went to Lord Buddha, and then the case was decided. So I never understood the story until you said they remember faces. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Apparently they're extremely intelligent and actually they can memorize the faces really well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, amazing.
This is the modern science.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
yeah, I was wondering how the crow went to him. I never understood that story, but because they didn't say that a crow could remember faces. And I thought it was the Lord in the heart just guiding. But now that you mention that, it makes a little more sense.
Yeah, it makes more connection.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we
will. One more point. You said resentment, the crow actually. Crow can actually
hold on to the resentment, grudge.
You know, this are the crows, they won't have a grudge.
So essentially, what scientists concluded basically that they don't memorize the good behavior as well as bad behavior. In other words, if somebody would feed them, they would actually become very friendly. Like there was instances where they almost became like a pets. Like if somebody would offer them food on a regular basis, then the crow would actually become almost friendly to human. But on the other hand, when the humans are being mean and aggressive or trying to hurt them, then they will remember that as well very well.
Is that just for
the
crow or
all
birds?
I wrote it specifically for the crows. Yeah.
It was a study, and the crows just remembered, it was like, oh,
in the playground. I remember there was crows in my playground at school as a kid. There's a bunch of crows. I don't know one from the next. But if somebody's like mean, if somebody gives them food, they remember it. If somebody's like harassing them, they remember it. And then, according to the study, they would let the other crows know too. So that's it. They just had a memory. So they had, you know,
they have
stuff.
An ex-system, like,
yeah. They all have cell phones now.
Yeah, they actually communicate very well amongst themselves. Yeah. But I think the main point in this purple problem is saying, like, because they do, unfortunately, they do tend to kind of like eat trash and so on. So therefore, proper saying like playground for the crows, where birds like eagle would never go to the trash, would only eat fresh things like this. Yes, please.
Can the crows curse you?
I'm sorry?
Can the crows curse you if you?
That I don't know.
Anyhow,
we can discuss it more later on. Thank you all so much. Garantara Srila Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Go Premanandi Hari Bol.